5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, 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 good evening, one and all, to the first show of 2021, which in many ways is in comparison to 2020's same shit. And it is the new Panic Room, episode 208. On Thursday, the 7th of January, Whatever. The years don't matter anymore, to be honest with you. It's just whatever. It's just a continuation. Same old, but here we are, still doing the old nonsense. And it's been 3 weeks. We just had a bit of a break because New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve just happened to fall on. It's rather jolly, so I've had a good old break. I can't remember what to do, to be honest with you, but I think this is now.
Come on, I'm with you.
Christina, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm good, but it's true.
Well,
you're not going to start moaning.
Eh? Don't moan. We had it to the listener. We had a bloody good moan before. So we got it all out the way. On the plus side, at least neither of us are Donald Trump. So silver linings. Silver linings.
That's
it's the sort of scenes you'd expect from Zimbabwe or someplace like that. It's just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, this is the time that I'm actually glad we don't have regular TV or cable or anything, because I'm sure this nonsense is on like every single channel right now, and so I'm kind of
glad of that.
I'm like, So we don't have to worry about that.
We don't get the news on. I follow my news on the internet. No, I don't get it all off Facebook. Yeah, I follow news channels and New York Times. Some of the British newspapers, I like to know what's going on over there as well. But it's kind of scary. Funnily enough, I'd actually have a client who is an attorney, like an county attorney. And we were supposed to have a Zoom call yesterday. And he thought because obviously all Capitol buildings everywhere, everybody was sent home. Because of what was going on, in the Washington, everything. Yeah, he was sent home, and he's in Chicago.
Wow. We were at the grocery store and stopped for a couple of seconds, and the boyfriend, I think he's like addicted to social media. He's listening.
I get that impression. Yeah. Yeah, I think you need to blow him a little more often, Xena, to be honest. Between you and I, as friends.
Maybe he wouldn't be so addicted to. Is that what you're
exactly?
Telling?
It would take his. Or unless he's one of these that would actually still be fiddling around on Facebook while you were putting your best effort in. So, it's only one way to find out.
Yeah, we'll have to have a discussion about that later.
Get him on the air now. Let's do the discussion right now.
Yeah, he knows better than that.
I know you're listening, Christian, and I've got your best interests at heart, mate. Trust me. Trust me. He'll thank me. He'll buy me a pint one day.
I'm getting warm up here. I should turn on the ceiling fan or something. Yeah. Well, speaking of weather, I'm going to change the subject real fast here. We're under like one of those winter storm warning things, and I'm totally excited. I know. You know, we had snow on Christmas, which, you know, that's amazing to have a white Christmas. And we actually did this year, and I was so excited. And
I'm
so
jealous.
Beautiful.
We just had grim weather.
And you know, the good part about here, at least so far anyway, is that I grew up in upstate New York, and when it started to snow, you know, you had the yucky snow, and then it would stick around because it was so fucking cold, and it would be the gray, gross, slushy crap forever, you know, it was just awful because, you know, it's dirty and everything. But here it seemed like, you know, we had the snow and it was beautiful and white, and it melted before it got that gross, you know, gray thing. So that is the one cool thing, is that we have a little bit of snow, but it's usually not a whole lot. So, you know, when I do hear winter storm, I get excited because I'm like, you know, we just went grocery shopping, so we have everything we need. If we get snowed in, it'd be fun. It'd be so much fun. I'm excited. So, yay!
Yay!
Yeah,
no, we had snow. God, it must be about 4 years ago we had snow, and we haven't seen it since. But I think England are getting, they're gearing up for a bit of a vicious cold front. So, it's the next stage in this apocalypse, isn't it? Although, I have to say, still disappointed about the murder hornets. Never saw one.
It's true. Yeah, you know what? Maybe they'll make a comeback this year. Who knows? You know,
I was even looking to see if you could buy them on Amazon, because to be honest, you can, you know, you can get anything on Amazon. So I was typing, you know, I want my murder hornets, and no, I think maybe they were sold out, you know, but so anywho, what do we have a show this evening or not? Is it just you and me again?
We always say that we're going to do that and just, like, you know, ramble on for a good, you know, hour and a half. And we could do it. We definitely could do it. But, no, we do have a show. I am very excited that our first show of the year, we're going to be talking to P. Mattern again, which, you know, we...
Yay!
That's a great way to start out the year, is talking to P, because that would just make, you know, the whole year, it just be wonderful because we have P with us. And then later on in the show, we'll have horror author Charles R. Rutledge. He's been a guest on the show before, and I'm excited to talk to him again because it's been quite a while. So, we have a great show tonight.
Awesome. Jolly. Yeah. Started then, so I'm going to let you introduce P, who, to be fair, is my personal favorite, I have to say. Just get it out of the way. She's just absolutely, she's like the best person. Out of 7.5 billion people on the planet, she's the best one.
She is great. Okay, our first guest is Amazon number one and top 100 best-selling and award-winning author, P. Mattern. Woo!
Hello!
Hey, Happy New Year!
Yeah, Happy New Year! Yay!
There you go. What do you think of 2021 so far?
It's a shit, to be honest. I want my money back, to be honest. It's really... If the rest of the year is going to be like this, I'm just going to stay in bed. To be honest.
I agree. So far, 2021 is showing all the promise of 2020's ugly stepsister.
Whoa! Yay!
I know, right? Oh my gosh, it's been crazy, crazy. So, you guys are in fine spirits.
No,
it's the alcohol.
To be honest, we've exceeded.
it's alcohol. With me, it's more self-delusion, to be honest with you. I'm just like, yeah, it's all part of the act. I mean, we're really miserable, to be honest. But, and it's sad because normally, and I've said this before, you know, the beginning of a new year, and I'm excited, and it's a fresh new year, and that. And I'm not feeling it this year. It's just like, it's just a continuation from, okay, we had a bit of a break over Christmas, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like a continuation of last year's nightmare. And it's just like, you know, that excitement, that childlike excitement is not there this year. And it's sad.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing is, we all feel like horses' asses for having welcomed the new year in so enthusiastically last year, right? 2020,
mm-hmm.
and we want our money back, like you said, right?
Definitely, yes. Yeah, fund on that. I do.
Well, you guys are my very favorites. You always feel like family, and I just admire you both so much. James is like totally top notch horror author. I just love everything he writes, and of course, Tina Marie is the empress of dark poetry and dark poetry.
She is.
I adore both of you.
Love you too. We love you too. That's one of the things I really going to try hard to do this year is actually write something and put something of my own out.
Yes. Definitely.
You know, how many years have I been saying it now? I've got these couple of novels to finish. I just haven't had the time. I have not, Hellbound and between ghostwriting gigs that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's what feeds the kids. Here I am. I mean, I've been on the go since 6 o'clock this morning. I'm still working.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
I was still drooling on my pillow at 6 in the morning.
I don't stop drooling. I drool throughout the day. But, you know, instead of lunch, I had a power nap, which was a little bit sad. But I took some B12 and drank a Monster drink, which gave me just enough energy to get to sleep. It's funny, I've been working on a couple of self-help books, you know, which everybody and I came up with this great concept, and I may write the book one, my own self-help book. To be fair, it's going to be called Figure It Out For Yourself. This concept I call, and this is copyrighted, so, you know, I'm watching, called Time Tetris.
There you go.
And the idea is that you think, you know, and you fit the tasks you have in your day, and you sort of, you're like a mental Tetris thing. You think, right, okay, well, I've finished that, and I've got like a phone call in 45 minutes. What can I do? And just... mentally, and I find it helps to picture that. So, okay, I can do, you know, some of his format a book and take me that, so I can slot that in. And it's the only way I can survive at the moment because I can't afford any downtime. As I said,
seriously,
on the plus
it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Time is speeding up. I swear to God, it's speeding up. Even the kids notice.
Yes. Yes, it is. Great.
It's
so weird, and that's kind of scary because the question I'm asking myself is, does time speed up when a civilization is circling the drain? That's a scary thought.
That is.
Oh,
well, it's funny, I read a great theory by actually Jeremy Clarkson many years ago. He I think he still writes for the Sunday Times. And he said, because obviously it's all perspective. It's all, I guess, obviously relative. That, you know, when you're 10 years old, 1 year is a tenth, of your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you're 50, 1 year is a 50th of your. So it's a smaller fraction. So perception wise, time just, either that or it's just nature's cruel trick. As you become aware you've got less time, you're also aware it's going faster because, let's face it, maybe baby Jesus hates us all or something like that.
Oh, God. Well, I just want to say that, you know, even with all the doom and gloom and how things are this, you know, starting out this year, that I can say that my family is healthy and we are doing good. So things could definitely be a lot worse. You know, I have both my babies with me. Yeah, I have both my
sure.
babies here and with me, and they both, you know, they work, and they're just, things could be definitely way worse. And I try to keep reminding myself of that all the time because, you know, for me, you know, James is totally different. When, you know, he loves, you know, January, and it's the first of the year, and we're all excited because for me, I was like, oh my God, I just put up my Christmas decorations. The most wonderful time of the year is gone, and this is when I get depressed. So I have to stop myself and go, you know, no, I'll have another Christmas coming around this year, and yay, and stuff. Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got to be grateful for what's going right. You know, it's a matter
yes.
of focusing.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We are live and kicking. We are fit and well. And here we are doing our show for, this is our, is it fifth year now? Six, it's, how years is this going to go drag on for, as people are asking, you know. And here we are. And a million thanks to Xena for booking my all-time favorite guest and person for the first show. So that's great. That's great. So P is here to talk to us about her American Handmaidens. Brilliant tagline, got me hooked. Some secrets are too terrible to keep. I have some secrets. I shall share off the air one day. But
ooh.
Moving on.
Well, you know
moving...
what? You know what? I always say everybody has a book to write. Everybody. I mean, things based on actual events have that, you know, that kind of authenticity. And
mm-hmm.
as a writer, you know, and Xena, you really know because I've read you a lot, that we put ourselves, pieces of our lives get in our work,
mm-hmm.
you know,
oh, yeah.
no matter what genre we're writing in, okay?
Yeah.
it always happens. So this was actually a book that I promised my sister I would write, and then at the same time said to myself, I'll never write that. I will never write that. And
mm-hmm.
I ended up writing it. It just wanted to be written. So, yeah, that's been very exciting. I've gotten a good response. 30% of my author royalties go to Joyful Hearts Foundation, which was started by Marissa Hartigay, who's a wonderful actress, and she's on CSI. I know you guys have seen her on CSI, and she
uh-huh.
started this foundation after they had a show that focused on, you know, child abuse and neglect and things like that. So, yeah, that was a little bit of my guts on the printed page, and it's selling very well and getting a great response, and I'm forever grateful to CHBB and, you know, for publishing it. And you know, that's been exciting, too, and I've had a lot of new books since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I do notice. It seems like there's a new one every time I turn around. And, you know, I do have to say, you know, what you're saying about writers, and you put a little bit of, you know, yourself into, you know, everything, pretty much everything that you write. And yeah, and as, you know, I don't think I realized that as much when I was just reading, you know, and I just read, I don't think I realized it, but it's true. And now when I go and I read somebody, I'm always trying to, you know, analyze the book. I'm like, I wonder what part of this is real. Like, I wonder what aspects of this character are, it's kind of interesting. So, yeah,
exactly.
I definitely, yeah, it's pretty fascinating. And, especially to be in my mind while I'm going, I wonder what's real. And, you know, because when you're a poet, and I've tried with some of my different poems to reach a little bit and not always go exactly for my, you know, my feelings and stuff, but try to, you know, get outside of myself and just write other things. But for the most part, I just always circle right around, and it's so personal. It's like, you know, reading my diary or something. So,
you're another one that, you know, your heart is right on the page. Your words are bleeding, you know, and that's what makes it so wonderful, though, so authentic. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you. I want to hear more of American Handmaidens, though. Do you have an excerpt to read for us?
No.
Wow. She's lying.
I really don't because I thought you were going to read it. So I tell you what, let's do instead. Let's read one of yours.
You know, the bad thing is I could read yours, but it would be just awful, and we would have to say that I was drinking way more wine than I actually am.
I'll tell you what. Can I do this? Can I sing my my song for my pandemic song for 2021? It's real short, and then I'm going to read your poem, "Burn" by Xena Marie. Okay, is that okay?
Sure. So we can do anything you'd like, P.
Aw, thanks. Okay, we're off to get the vaccine, the wonderful vaccine, because it is a cure for sure. If ever a cure there was, the vaccine is one because of the wonderful things it does. La, 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 la. Okay, that's my optimistic song about the pandemic for 2020.
Awesome.
Okay, now, in a completely different mode, Burn by Xena Marie. Now, everybody just kind of settle down and open your mind because this is also extremely timely. For the turbulent times we're living in. God only knows what the past few days have been like. So, you know, listen to the words, though, because I think she just nails it. I think she just kills it, crushes it, whatever. Burn by Xena Marie. I go crazy daily with the chaos of our world, the hatred being bred, spreading faster than the summer wildfires. So unpredictable, uncontrollable, and so very devastating to all living things. And deep down, under all the differences, we're being programmed to notice. We all burn the same. Wow.
We do.
That was
Thank
burned
you.
By Xena Marie. I think it's very much E.E. Cummings, that kind of irony. E.E. Cummings meets Edgar Allan Poe, that's the darkness, meets Emily Dickinson, literary quality.
Oh,
what do you think?
I love that. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. But anyway, good for you because I really, really loved it.
Thank you. Oh,
Xena is speechless now. Absolutely speechless.
I knew Xena nailed it. Was that brand new, Xena?
It was. It's not very old at all. Yeah, I definitely wrote it with what's going on in mind. You know, I was just like, oh God. You know, I mean, so yeah. But
so perfect.
Thank you. And that's something too is that I've been trying really hard. So like James said, even with just writing a poem here and there, it's not like I have a lot of time, so I have to grab onto the ideas when they come, you know, because it's definitely We've been busy. But that's a good thing, too. You know, I mean, even though we're, you know, we're so busy and, you know, James says he's been up since, which it was probably dark out when he got up. And
no, it was. Well, I have to be up at 6 to get my daughter off to school, you know. So I'm up and then I have a couple of coffees and see her off to school and then I'm working, yeah.
You know, when
I can never get up that early.
I know, not me either. With when my son doesn't have the distance learning thing, when he actually has to go, I'll wake up at like 8 to like pee or something, you know, and that's still the middle of the night for me. And I check the 360 app. I'm like, oh yeah, he's at school. There you go. And then I go right back to sleep. So that's
really. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so. But
can I talk a little bit about books? I mean, books that have come out since Thanksgiving and upcoming books that won't take me very long at all. Going back to Thanksgiving, like you said, a lot of books have come out. A lot of them I was kind of writing concurrently, very different genres. A Gathering of Snowmen was a clean, cozy pandemic read, okay? Some of the things I've been writing they're very timely and current and relevant because the characters are in the same situation we are currently. And then around the holidays, I joined up with members of Purely Paranormal Pleasures, Amanda Kimberly, C.D. Gorey, and myself, and we released a trilogy of a holiday, you know, kind of funny takes on the North Pole, Santa Claus, elves, and that for the holidays, and those went over really well. Mine was titled Fucky the Elf Plays Matchmaker, and it's spelled Fucky, P-H-U-C-K-Y, so it's not a dirty word, folks. And and Elvish Lover by C.D. Gorey, Santa's Helper by Amanda Kimberly, and that was hilarious, uplifting holiday fun to do. And I hope everybody runs and looks at those, because even though the holidays are over, these will have you laughing. They'll have you wetting your pants. Of course, American Handmaidens, you mentioned before, that's based on true events. The tagline was, some secrets are too terrible to keep. And I'm getting a lot of wonderful feedback from survivors of childhood abuse, abuse survivors. And then Little Doll I wrote with the fabulous T.S.B., and that is straight-up gothic horror. James, you know, Tina, you like dark, too. James, you know we can't stay away from the horror. That's, like, awesome. You know, horror is really my favorite because nothing grabs your guts and twists them like horror does, and I just love it. But Little Doll is set in the Victorian times, and it's actually starts with a terrible carriage accident where a little girl gets scarred on the outside and the inside. And it was so much fun to write, and she ends up with none other than Mothman. Mothman, you know, the Mothman?
Yeah.
As her boyfriend, so... You know, look for that. That's really fun.
Wow.
I'm currently in a 2021 box set by the graces of C.D. Gorey and Gina Kincaid. Shout out to Gina. You're the bomb diggity. And it's going to also include Amanda Kimberly. And it's called Hearth Unleashed. And it has, like, every macabre creature you can think of. There's a lot of horror, thriller, paranormal romance in it, but it's got shifters and vampires and werewolves and, you know, just all your favorites. So that just came out.
Sounds great.
You have been busy.
And Halo with Lynn Legacki-Gauthier is also in the works, and My big release, which will be, like, I think next week, is Longevity Sequence C. It's a medical thriller that I really spent a lot of research on.
Wow.
Two guys looking for the Fountain of Youth. And the tag is Breaking the Code Will Create Gods or Destroy Mankind. Ta-da! That finishes.
Nice.
Wow.
Was I efficient?
You were great.
Yeah, you were.
we need P to do our ad break for us.
Yeah.
Mm.
I like that idea.
You know what? if I can have an arc or be one of the first to grab your new ones, you know, after 2021 gets rolling, because one thing about 2021, I really have faith that everybody's going to, you know, get back in their writing mode, right? It's going to save us to be able to have that.
To be fair, as long as we don't just get a whole raft of pandemic novels, you know, like we've been
right.
through. Everybody was writing zombie novels. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, seriously. I know they're gonna be coming through our submissions. They're gonna start. We had a couple last year. It's like, no, I don't. I'm living it. I don't want to read about it as well. Thank you.
Right.
You know, seriously.
I know it. Enough is enough, right?
Mm. You know, give me something different. You know.
Mistake.
Yeah. Well, I see a submission now, and it's a zombie that's been, no, forget it. I'm not even going to read the submission, never mind the book.
Oh, my God.
Sick to death of zombies.
Well,
sick to death of them.
No kidding. Me too. Although I did write, I think it was a real, real short horror. Recently, it was called Undertaking. And, you know, they have this guy's sister on a slab and his family was attacked. Long story short, what I liked best about it was the end, because you think, oh, this is about zombies roaming the countryside. Well, the very last line reveals that they became zombies after they got the vaccine.
Nice.
Excellent.
So I just thought this is perfect. In fact, my editor, when she read it, she said, Lynn Legaki Gauthier, she said, I just read the last line and laughed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have been looking for, you know, time. It's getting time is the hard part. But I've definitely been looking for a good scary book to, like, sink my teeth into. And, you know, I think as I get older, I don't know what it is. You know, I used to have this thing where if I started a book, I finished it to the end, no matter what. And now I'm just like, I'm bored now. I'm going to put it up.
Yeah.
And then I start something else. And there's a part of me that's like, feels so guilty when I do that. But then I'm thinking, why? Why?
It's
a bad book.
It's funny, I started doing that with movies as well, because I'll go through Netflix, I'll watch that, and I was watching one the other night, and it was like, it was so formulaic, I got halfway through, I started nodding off, as I do, normally I would pause it and then come back to it, but it's so formulaic, I just didn't bother, my brain filled in the last 40 minutes of it. Having said that, I started watching Ghosts of War last night, and that's on, I think it's Netflix.
Is it good?
And it is brilliant. I'm about half an hour into it. I have to watch movies in half-hour chunks because I don't last too long at night time these days. It's great. I mean, it's just starting to get spooky.
Oh, my God, I've got to watch it.
Say again?
Oh, I've got to watch it.
I would recommend it. It is very good. Very good.
Well, I'm going to jump on that. I've read, you know, these 2020 in theater things that are coming out. They're real hit and miss. But the Unhinged one with a very, very fat, what is his name? He was in Russell Crowe. A very, very fat Russell Crowe. Unhinged. Oh my God, that one had me on the edge of my seat.
I want to watch that. Is that good? Is that a good one?
Yeah, Unhinged. And then the lie will trick you. I love to be tricked. I love when I think I know what's going to happen or what has happened, and they turn it. They just turn it on its head, and you know, they fooled me.
That's the mark of a good one. So hey, Pete. Our switchboard is lit up. We've got some people, I guess, dying to say hi to you. So I'm going. Let's bring them on. Hello.
Oh, how nice. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Did you? Huh? Hello. You wanted to speak to P.
Hey, P. It's sister.
Hi.
Who's your sister?
My God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Mama Fang, I love you. I love you. I've been listening to this and just, my God, you're amazing.
No, you are amazing. And this is just one of the most creative, dearest, cheerful people. Oh my God, let's treasure our cheerful, upbeat people because God knows we need more of them in this world. I'm so happy that you called in. Thank you.
Of course. I wouldn't miss this. This is wonderful. And I love it. I mean, yeah.
You guys have got to
see that movie, Knives Out. If you want it, you want a little switcheroo. Captain America isn't always the nice guy.
Okay, awesome. That's
another one
on my list. Nice.
Another one for the list. Yeah. I've seen that one. I kind of fancied that, but so yeah, I recommendation. Excellent.
Mama Fang, how's my lux doing?
Pardon?
How's my lux doing?
Fine.
That's good. When's the next full moon series coming out?
Pardon?
When's the next full moon series coming out?
Oh my gosh. Okay, Full Moon Series is my flagship series, in case y'all didn't know. And Halo is coming out. Lynn and I are writing it as we speak. And hopefully, I'm thinking sometime towards the end of February. You know, fingers crossed. But it's, you get an arc, okay? You PM me and say, I get an arc. As soon as I announce we wrote the end, you get an arc, okay?
Yeah. I can't believe I found you all those years ago. And anyone who's listening, P. Mattern is amazing.
She is simply amazing.
Her writing takes you there. And you just wonder, how does she think of things like this? Just phenomenal.
Yeah. We're big fans of hers. I was looking it up. It looks like we had her on the show for the first time in like 2017. Was that it? I'm trying to look here. So yeah, we have been big fans of hers for quite some time. We just love her.
We do.
She's so animated and so great. And she's got this amazing mind, and it will take you wherever you want to go. And how do you do it? How do you go from love story to vampires?
I'm going to tell you briefly my theory, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know too many authors that wake up in the morning with a whole chapter in their head, or else they have a dream and they write it down and it becomes a book. I believe that all our inspiration comes from the other side, because I believe we're eternal, okay?
Yeah.
So we're here, and people or entities or your higher power or whatever, you know, if you're speaking, if you're supposed to do it, if it's your destiny, if it's your passion, they feed it to you. So I think authors just have good antenna, you know what I mean, to pick that up and write it down. And
I think
you know,
authors have that. And you're one of them.
I have definitely heard that before, that the stories come from outside or whatever, and then, you know, just certain people are able to, like, you know, hone in on it and stuff. I've definitely heard that. Yeah, that's an interesting Yeah, maybe. Because there are times. Yeah, I think that all of us writers have
come to you, right?
Well, yeah, you know, there have been times that I've read back my own writing and say to myself, I don't remember writing that. That doesn't even sound
exactly.
Like me.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
well, to be fair, to be fair, Xtina, you write drunk a lot of the time, so you know there is that. So I'm gonna have to say bye. We've got another caller on now, and I don't know who it is. Hello. Well, welcome to P's Fan Club.
Is it me? I don't even know at this point. I happen to be Amanda Kimberly.
Hi.
Happy New Year. And I actually helped Mama Fang with basically editing American Handmaiden.
Wow.
And
awesome.
I loved this book.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. It struck me literally from the first sentence. And I feel compelled to read at least two paragraphs of it, if you will indulge me.
Oh, my God. Can she?
Sure.
Okay. So
sure.
Here it goes. I am excited. My father, a tall, handsome, World War II vet who returned home to land a government job, is cocking his old boxing gloves out of the top, taking his old boxing gloves out of the top of the hall closet. He tells my sister and I that he used to box in the Army and did pretty well at it. I am excited because in the post-war era, boxing is on TV every Friday, and it looks like fun, dancing around and throwing punches, as well as blocking them. Now, here's why I love that opening.
Mm-hmm.
My dad did the same thing with me, and he was a Vietnam vet. He was a Vietnam vet. It hit me.
Aww.
And I'm going to tell you, this book, I absolutely love it. Love it.
Oh,
love it,
Amanda.
Love it.
Now I want to read it. Yeah, now I can't wait.
It's most definitely, you know, one of these reads that's a memoir. Mm-hmm. And it reads like a memoir. And if you don't like memoirs, okay, fine. But, oh, my God, she tells it so good. I liken it to the best memoir I've read, aside from her, of course, because now I have two favorites. But the best memoir I've read was basically, now I can't remember the name of it.
It happens like that.
But it was great.
Buddha's dinner. Buddha's night dinner or something like that. Buddha's dinner. Oh my God.
You told me about that. Yeah.
What? Yes. Buddha's dinner. And Bit with that one was phenomenal because she just sat there and she told you, like, every day what happened to her. It was like a diary. And
okay, well, I have to interrupt you because I want to tell them that Amanda Kimberly is an incredible writer, and she just draws you right in. And her most recent one, Pandemic Passion, everybody buy Pandemic Passion. It is not belabor the point of the pandemic. It is an exciting paranormal love story, and is it paranormal or contemporary, Amanda?
Pandemic Passion is a paranormal romance, but I mean, my God, right. This is so not about me. This is about you. Okay.
She does. Yes.
I
got
to brag about you. Oh, and read The Turtle in the Hair. The Turtle in the Hair is hysterical. One thing I love about Amanda Kimberly's writing is the humor. Oh, my God, the humor.
Okay,
you
yes,
will wet your pants.
I wrote rom-com, too, but this is not about me. This is about you. I loved this book. I loved it.
Aww.
I loved it.
Well, I am convinced.
God.
I have
well,
it on my...
God.
I have it on my Kindle.
I mean, if there's anybody whose opinion I treasure, it would be yours. Like, James, I know you can agree with me. We're the kind of writers that we could give two SHITs and a rat pass for most opinions, except for people whose work we really admire, you know, so there you go.
Absolutely.
Well, I am convinced. I have it on my Kindle, and I want to start it tonight after the show now. I do.
Well, can
it's
I just say, my I absolutely love the English accent.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Amanda has a crush on you. James, you've got a fangirl. Amanda loves your accent. Loves.
Oh, blind.
We have Amanda on the show.
We should.
We need to, just have a girl party.
Patricia, we booked October.
Yes, there we go.
Yay!
Well, on that note,
y'all,
I think we have just...
supposed to be another guest on the show because I feel like a hog.
I know. On that note, we are going to have to say goodbye. We have to do a couple commercials and a song and everything. And I hate that we have to leave. But next time, we'll definitely do this, and we'll have a girl party. And it will just, you know, take an hour and a half and just have a lot of fun. And I can't wait. So I'm really – thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show, P. And – thank you, everybody who called in and
too
stuff.
Much
and,
fun.
Yeah.
You guys are too much fun. Definitely.
Thank you so much,
P.
We love
Bye.
You. We will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, half a show is never long enough for P. And apologies to the people who did phone in, didn't get on. So, but yeah, we need to have a break because otherwise, could be accidents going on at this end. So we'll be right back.
The Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
only do things by heart. Who gets the job? Pushing the knob. That sort of responsibility you draw straws for if you're mad enough.
Welcome back to part two.
Well, but how do we follow that? How? anything? We love P.
She's always so much fun.
I'm going to play this again because we're going to run out of opportunities to play this. I want to get it in while I can.
Nobody does it better.
I really believe I'd run into it even if I didn't have a weapon.
Nobody knows the system better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows. Nobody's better.
Nobody's stronger. There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump. Nobody knows that better than me.
Nobody even understands it but me.
Nobody can do it like me.
Which is why I alone can fix it.
I have Ivy League education, smart guy.
I know words. I have the best words.
I mean, like, I'm a smart person.
It's this. It's not my salesmanship.
It's what?
This. You know what that is? The brain power.
I'm getting thousands of letters and tweets that I was right about the whole situation. I mean, I've been right about a lot of things, frankly. I should be a newscaster because I called it before the news.
I watch this stuff. You know, I'm like a guy with vision.
I have an instinct for this kind of thing.
I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war.
In my book, I predicted terrorism.
It's a rigged system. I think I've done a great service by pointing this out. I was the one that really broke the glass ceiling on behalf of women.
I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Did a great job in Texas, a great job in Florida.
I truly believe that the first 100 days of my administration has been just about the most successful in our country's history.
It looked like a million and a half people.
Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout.
I understand steaks. It's my favorite food, and these are the best.
That keeps me from running.
Makes me feel safe for the rest.
president. Can you believe it?
And it will be the end of an era, whichever way you look at it. But yeah, it's
he's amazing.
He's got all the best words. But it's gonna be. I mean, who are we gonna poke fun at? You know, I mean.
Well, you know, to be honest, there's gonna be a lot of good, really good memes that are gonna come our way. With Biden, I do believe. So, I mean, I've already seen some amazing ones. So
I have to say.
Obviously, it depends
what Trump's going to do next. That there's rumors he's going to start a TV news channel or what have you. I'm holding out for Mike Pence's Fly to get his own miniseries, HBO miniseries. I was mesmerized by.
Who wasn't? Yeah,
giving his own show. There, you know, it would have all the thrills and spills, and I for one would subscribe and sit and watch that. So, we have a second guest waiting in the virtual green room because you know social distancing and all that. I think you should, Eckstein. I think you should.
I hope he's got his mask on. Anyway.
He better have. If not, we will look at him sternly over our collective spectacles.
Our second guest is a returning guest. I'm very excited. Horror author Charles R. Rutledge. Woo!
Well, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How are you?
Yeah.
I am doing well. How are you guys?
Good. We're good. We're surviving. We're surviving.
That's about all of us are doing.
Right.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. But as P said earlier, you know, we should be grateful for that because, you know, it gives us the edge over everybody who didn't survive last year.
Indeed.
So.
Indeed.
Here we are, folks. Here we are. So thank you for joining us, Charles. Here to talk to us about your book, Dracula. First of all, I've got, is it actually about Dracula's ghost, or is that just a...
Well, that would be telling.
It's one of those, it's secret. Love the tagline, Dracula's hard-boiled crime fiction and blood-chilling gothic horror with a thriller pace. So, tell us a bit more about it.
Well, it's the follow-up to Dracula's Revenge, which I talked about the last time I was on the show. And basically it's the same characters, Jennifer Grail, who's a police detective in Gatesville, Georgia, and Carter DeCamp, who is an occult detective. And they run across some vampires and some Romanian gangsters and some local gangsters, and things turn pretty bloody. So it really is a mix of crime fiction and horror, which is kind of my niche genre.
I like that. That's pretty unique. I don't think I've seen that before. I like the mix.
It almost seems to be my own little genre, but I mean, a few other people have done, you know, similar things. And of course, you know, I write the Griffin and Price series with James A. Moore, which is also crime fiction and horror.
Mm-hmm.
We love
it. Sort of a happy accident, or did you set out
that
you were going to make?
Yeah, well, I primarily read crime fiction. That's the thing I read the most of. But I like monsters. And I also like crossovers because I'm a comic book guy. I like to mix things up. When Jim and I wrote our first book, Blind Shadows, that was the sort of the map we were going to do. A sort of Lovecraftian horror, but it would have, gangsters and criminals in it and that kind of thing. And generally there are two parallel plots. Sometimes it all runs together, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, that really was what we set out to do. And then that's kind of what I've continued to do in most of my work, either with Jim or by myself. So it's just, you know, it's what I write what I like.
Definitely,
excellent.
Definitely. I hear that all the time, and even, you know, I've had authors say that there wasn't, you know, whatever they liked, that they didn't have that. So they
Precisely.
Go, well, I guess I'll go ahead and write it then. Yeah, I think that I love that. I do. I definitely want to hear more. Do we have an excerpt?
We do have an excerpt.
Yay. I do this, you know, do you have an excerpt? Because, you know, I've talked to the guests before and nobody, you know, you're not supposed to know that. And P, nope, I don't got one.
I was like, oh, God. Yeah, she, nope, that was great. I love that.
I have come prepared.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Chapter 5. Jen spent the rest of the afternoon at her desk, mostly reading about Romanian gangsters online. Rivera hadn't been exaggerating. Once those boys left home, they could turn pretty nasty. In addition to their drug distribution activities, they were heavily involved in human trafficking. Close to 80% of the women trafficked into the United Kingdom for brothels and unpaid labor were Romanian. However, she didn't find anything about impalement as a method of execution among them. Like most gangsters, they were mostly all about the stabbing and the shooting. Her stomach rumbled and she looked at the wall clock. It was after 6. She had skipped lunch and now it was supper time. Jen switched off her PC and grabbed her bag and jacket. The rain was falling again, so she pulled a ball cap over her hair, noting as she did so she really needed to get a haircut. There hadn't been any parking close to the station when she had returned from Rivera's place, so she had parked on the opposite side of the park that took up the center of the town square. Not surprisingly, no one was in the square. The red brick walkways were slick with rain and the air smelled of wet grass. Halos of light from the street lamps threw deep shadows on the statue in the center of the park. Some Civil War general. Jen didn't know who he was and wasn't terribly interested. When Jen was halfway across the park, she saw someone walking toward her from the other side of the square. The man's face was in shadow, and he was wearing a dark raincoat, so Jen couldn't tell much about him. The guy probably had nothing to do with her, but she was cautious by nature, and current events had made her more so. She changed her direction slightly so she wouldn't cross paths with the man. When she did, she saw a second man, also dressed in black, and also coming her way. Still, could be nothing. But somehow, she didn't think so. Jen pushed her jacket back so that the Glock 40 caliber on her hip was readily accessible. She wasn't ready to draw down on pedestrians just yet, but she didn't want anything slowing that process. "There is no need for shooting," a voice said from behind Jen. She turned to find a tall woman with blonde hair and good cheekbones standing a few feet behind her. Jen hadn't heard the woman approach. "If you're with these men, tell them to keep their distance and to keep their hands where I can see them." The woman smiled, showing sharp canines. Shit. Jen glanced around. The two men had stopped advancing, but they were blocking her retreat. She fought back a wave of panic. The iron sword was locked in the trunk of her car. She'd already learned the hard way that her Glock was of no use against vampires. Still, if she fired a couple of rounds into the air, she might get someone's attention. "You are Jennifer Grail," the woman said. "Yeah, who are you?" "You may call me Carla, Carla Lim. We have a mutual friend, I think." "Yeah, Vlad Tepes of Wallachia, Count Dracula. Dracula's dead. For the moment, I need your help to restore him, Miss Grail." "Lady, if you think I'm going to help you bring that monster back, you are out of your tiny mind." Jen was trying to keep Carla talking, anything to buy a few minutes to think of some way to get away. She hadn't actually seen anything to show that Carla's two friends were also vampires, but odds were they were. She knew she couldn't outrun them. The creatures were scary fast. "Fortunately," Carla said, "I do not require your cooperation, merely your participation. Boris, Ernie, bring her. Time to make some noise." Jen snatched the Glock from the holster. Half a second later, she cried out as Carla's hand gripped her wrist with crushing force. The vampire pulled the gun from Jen's hand and tossed it away. Jen whipped her elbow up, slamming it into the side of Carla's head. The woman didn't even blink. Jen heard a weird noise like the whistle clank of a sling blade. Then something round came rolling across the grass. Both she and Carla looked at it. It took a second to realize it was the head of the vampire Ernie. "Let her go, Mircalla," Carter DeCamp said. He was standing a few yards away over the ready disintegrating body of the fallen vampire. De Camp's silver-edged sword had that effect on the undead. Jen saw surprise in Carla's eyes, and she felt the vampire's grip loosen. She jerked her hand free and hurried toward De Camp. The vampire called Boris moved to intercept her, his body shimmering for a moment like a summer mirage, as he became something half-wolf and half-man. De Camp leaped into Boris's path, sword aimed at the creature's heart. Boris twisted aside with snake-like speed and lunged past the sword, claws extended to rend and tear. De Camp ducked under the sweeping claws, spun around and struck at the back of Boris's leg. The wolf creature stumbled, then wheeled around with a guttural howl and sprang at De Camp again. The slender man evaded the second charge and just missed opening the vampire's throat with the tip of his blade. Jen risked a glance back at Carla Lim, only to see the woman had vanished. She turned back and saw De Camp and Boris square off. The vampire was limping slightly, doubtlessly amazed to find that his leg was actually injured. The sword could affect a vampire just as it would a human. De Camp started forward, but his foot slipped on the wet grass. With a growl of triumph, Boris lurched at him. De Camp seemed to suddenly recover his balance, and he plunged the sword through the vampire's chest. Boris's eyes rolled back in his head, and he fell to the ground and lay still. Jen rushed over to De Camp. Carter, are you all right? When you tripped, I thought you thought I really tripped. So did Boris. Jesus, Carter, where did you come from so fast? I was parked over there, De Camp said, pointing to another corner of the square. You were watching me? I was making sure you got home all right, my dear. I am so glad you did. Jesus Christ, thank you, Carter. Let's get out of the open and go somewhere where we can talk. There could be more of them around. My place, Jen said. I need a drink. I need several drinks. Let's take your car, though. I can pick up the cruiser later.
I love it. I do. And has anyone ever told you that you could narrate books? You have a wonderful voice.
Almost everyone.
I could have listened to
you.
Oh, definitely. You could have kept going.
Yeah.
That was great. So when you
every
make
time
out...
I give a reading, that's what I. It's like, you know, you should read audiobooks.
You should, yeah, you should, yeah. you should listen to those people, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
good idea.
And when you make out my copy, it's XTI. And
she's shameless every week. She's got bookcases full of
That's
books she's flagged off guests.
Well, you know that one. At the moment, it only exists as an ebook.
Oh, really?
Of the two Dracula books I did, they were both short novels, and this summer I'll be making a paperback of the combined two books.
Oh, that's awesome. You have to let me know where I can purchase a signed one, definitely.
I shall.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now?
I'm actually working on a couple of short stories for some anthologies I owe people, and I am editing. I have just edited the first book for a small publisher, which is basically my friend Cliff Bickers and I, Pavane Press, and we did a Yuletide horror anthology, and that came out in December, and we're about to gear up and actually do a vampire anthology.
Wow. Awesome. I was going to say, if you ever have any short stories that need homes, you know, Hellbound would love to put one into one of our anthologies.
Well, thanks. I like to write short stories. In fact, it's kind of a running gag because I've only been an author for about 7 years, and I've appeared in almost 30 anthologies.
I really like
writing short stories in between, you know, the novels.
You know, I always wonder about that. Like, what people like better? Do you like to write the short stories, or because it does seem like some, you know, you definitely have a preference, or, you know, but in listening to the excerpt and just hearing how. I don't know. For me, there's a lot of times that when I read a short story, because it's a short story, you don't have as much time to flesh out characters and to get the depth that you can get into a novel. And just hearing, you know, the excerpt, I could definitely tell that you're one who, you know, you put us there. We could see everything that was going on. And that's one thing that I think is lacking with a lot of short stories. So is this, I don't know, is it just refreshing when you can, you know, do a short story and be done with it and it's done and over? And
It can be, but since most of my short stories, I do tend to use my series characters because I like writing them. So if people have read the books, they already kind of know DeCamp, or they know Karn, the Immortal Barbarian, or they know Griffin and Price, or they know, you know, Jennifer Grail. Jennifer's turned out to be one of my more popular characters. But oddly enough, DeCamp, who, you know, you can tell from his name, started off as an in-joke, has become just about the most popular character I have, so it's very funny.
Interesting. I like that. So when you aren't writing, who do you like to read?
In terms of crime fiction, I really like Preston and Child, who do the Pendergast books, and they have a new series about an FBI agent and an archaeologist who get involved in some interesting mysteries. In fact, their second book is supposed to come out next week, and that's like the thing I'm the most looking forward to. I'm a huge fan of Robert B. Parker. He's one of my biggest influences. A lot of my stuff sounds kind of like him. And I like Michael Connelly a lot, who did, the Bosch, Harry Bosch series.
Interesting.
But I also like a lot of the classic folks because I collect Arthur Conan Doyle, and I've read all of Agatha Christie and all of Dorothy L. Sayers and, the people from the 30s and the 40s. So, and I'm something of a Victorian buff, so I like a lot of that stuff too. Sexton Blake, the office boy Sherlock Holmes, one of my favorites.
I always say it, we just don't have as much time as we used to. And I find that there's so many times now that I will pick up a book that I've read three times before because I know it's good. I know the characters. I almost feel like, they're friends, But it gets harder and harder to pick up just, any book because, you just never know. You might pick up a dud or I don't know. It's like I have such little time. When I do have time, I want it to be something I know I'm going to like. And even if I've read it three times already,
I
don't know.
I think that is one of the reasons people do tend to like series characters.
Yes, definitely.
Since I put them in so many anthologies, people are like, oh, boy, another Carter DeCamp story. It's funny because in the A Winter's Tale, the Yuletide horror anthology we did, Jim and I, sometimes we team up our series characters who are not part of each other's series. And so his, demon hunter Jonathan Crowley, which is like his signature character, teams up with DeCamp, or in this case he teams up with Karn, who's like a barbarian who's been alive for 12,000 years. They meet Charles Dickens. They fight some, giant robot toy things, and it's just nuts, but people just really seem to like it because the more weird things we throw in there, the happier people seem to be.
Especially nowadays, we kind of want the more crazy things going on because it makes it even crazier than what is actually going on in the world, maybe. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, people need to get away.
Yes. I read, I think it was for, it was editing, but I came across a story that was Bizarro. And normally that's not what I'm going to pick up to read, but it was so much fun. And because it was just so ridiculous that, it was, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like, there's no way that any of this could ever really happen. But yet at the same time, I'm like, this is good, So I think sometimes we need that. We need a, definitely a break from what is going on now. So
I definitely think so. But now one of the things, especially in like the Griffin and Price series or the Jennifer Grail books, what I generally do is I do base most of the criminal part on actual things. You know, I'll like adapt things that have actually happened and change them somewhat. So the basic, mm-hmm. my basic theory of writing is everything is just like it is in our world except for one thing. And mm-hmm. that one thing might be a vampire. It might be some sort of, you know, things from the outer dark, or it might be, you know, any sort of monster, werewolf, harpies, you know. So that's, I tend to ground it a lot so that when it goes sideways, it's like, you know, a real shock to the reader.
So you might not answer this question for me, but your vampires, are they more, you know, the old classic vampires, or, you know, I'm sure they don't sparkle, so that's how I totally
No, good Lord, no.
No, I've actually done these are the ones in the Jennifer Grail series, since it is called Dracula's Revenge and Dracula's Ghost, they are extremely Stoker accurate. I have read Dracula, the novel, like 12 times, and so I keep everything very, very accurate. So, yeah, they're traditional European vampires, but in
Excellent.
Congregations of the Dead, which is the book Jim and I wrote, a Griffin and Price book, we had a group of Southern Baptist vampires. And
oh my
they
gosh,
were,
just the thought
yes,
of that.
They were immune to most of the things that bother vampires because they're Christians.
Oh, nice.
I
nice.
Like it.
I like
it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a sort of itinerant preacher, Reverend Cotton, and Lazarus Cotton, and he and his flock have found eternal life on earth because they're vampires. The only problem
I love
is
it.
They'd like you to have it too.
Right. You know, the funniest thing for me was either one of you watch see the movie Hotel Transylvania? It's like, you know, years ago. But part that always gets me every single time was when the kid was talking to Dracula and trying to ask him questions about what kills him. He's like, "Well, a stake to the heart." And Dracula's like, "Well, yeah, but who wouldn't that kill?" And I'm thinking, you know what? That's,
yeah.
that's right. Like, why?
Yeah.
That would kill anybody.
The vampires, it only works in Dracula, in the more, you know, traditional stuff, that only works when they're in their coffin. You have to catch them in the daytime. You have to drive the stake through their heart because you are symbolically pinning them to their grave so they cannot walk again. So in the movies, all this stuff with crossbows and people running up and sticking stakes into things, none of that would actually work against Dracula. Wouldn't even slow him down.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a bad dude. If you take it just as Stoker wrote it, you can only kill him in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be resting. But, you know, we've seen so much stuff on Buffy and other things.
God, yeah.
You know, but
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a huge Buffy fan, and
me
Dracula
too.
Was
and
on.
So
yeah,
I did that in Griffin and Price, but in the Dracula stuff, I try to keep it as Stoker accurate as I can. But for instance, you know, sunlight takes away his powers, but it won't kill him. You know, Christopher Lee bursts into flame, and Nosferatu vanishes, but it wouldn't actually hurt Bram Stoker's Dracula, so... But it is funny that you mentioned the Hotel Transylvania, because one of the things that I'm constantly doing is going blah, blah, blah. And people are like, blah, 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 blah.
I say blah,
bits.
Blah, blah. I love those movies. Great.
Yeah. Yes. I never drink wine.
I hate to do this, but we are just about out of time for our show tonight.
It's okay.
Yeah, we had such a great time tonight, and I'm just so happy that this was the first show of the year. You know, it can only, you know, yay, I'm excited. Yeah,
that's
me
right.
too.
Cool.
Off on that. Me too. Well,
yeah,
thanks
yeah.
for having
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it tremendously.
Thank you
Definitely.
So much for joining
Definitely.
Us, Charles, and here's to a fabulous 2021, everyone.
Exactly. Woo! You guys take care.
And you. We'll speak
you.
To you very soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, actually, that's I was a miserable fucker before we started, and I'm a little less so now. And I you know, that's cheered me up. I'm feeling I'm feeling a little more. And it's Friday tomorrow, and I've got another day. But Then it's the weekend, so.
Yay! We've almost made it through the first week of.
God, it's always brutal. Kids are back to school. It's you know, don't get a lot. It's just back up at six. It's kicking my butt this time. But we like you say, we're survivors, and we're, damn it, here we are. So on that note, it is. I'm afraid it is time. Good night, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Love you like I do. Don't know why I love you. Don't know why I care. I just want your love to share. And I wonder why I love you like I do. Is it because I think you love me too? I wonder why I love you like I do. Like I do. When you're with me, wow.